To the book of John, chapter number 20. When you found that, put a finger there and go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Got to see my two twin buddies, Easton and Weston, Friday night. They're growing, and I got to see their poor nameless little baby sister. I sure hope they get her a name before too much longer. That's gonna cost, but it was worth it. While I'm talking about my pastor's pals, let me just add a P.S. to this. You making faces at me? Everything working? Oh, okay. You're just making your regular face. I can never tell. Just as a P.S. to what I was saying. Now, boys and girls, don't go into billfolds or purses to get the money for the offering. Okay, I just want to add that. That would be called stealing. But parents, you need to know coins laid out is fair game. So I'm just want to warn you ahead of time. If you don't want that to happen, you need to put it somewhere. Might get in trouble for that, but doesn't matter. I'm going on vacation 2 weeks anyway, so that. also, welcome the rest of you in that are joining us on our YouTube channel. Thank you so much for joining in our worship. We so much appreciate you doing that. Those of you that are providentially hindered from being in the service, those that are maybe in areas where there is not a New Testament church, oh, my soul, we pray for you. We pray that God would answer your prayer and raise up a church there in your area. Our heart goes out to Jim and Lori, Matthew, those up there. And they're praying also that a church could be planted there as well. Sometimes you don't realize what you have until you don't have it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We've been looking for several weeks together from this verse and in Hebrews 13. By the way, thank you also for the prayers on the annual visit of bronchitis. It has pretty much gone. I'm not contagious anymore, but I still cough every now and then. Excuse me for that. And my voice is not quite 100%, and some of you are glad for that as well. But hopefully I can get the message out. Hebrews 13, this verse of the unchangeableness of the Lord, what an anchor it is, an unchanging anchor in a sea of change. What a blessing. Now, life on earth is constantly changing. Change is inevitable. And in a lot of cases, it's necessary. I mean, how long did it take for your wife to change from being a bad cook into a good cook? You remember that process, guys? Oh, yes, it's wonderful, hon. Yeah. Come here, Fido, come here. But wasn't that a blessing when the change finally took place? Yes. By the way, did you catch Garfield the other day? Garfield says, I can't eat broccoli for medical reasons. It makes me sick. I identify with Garfield a lot. Those of you that can remember back in the 70s, remember those wide ties, the bell-bottom pants and the platform shoes? Remember that? Yeah. That was before my time. I don't, but I remember some of you old people talking about it. But those ties were so wide, my uncle looked like he was wearing a bib. And it caught so much soup and gravy, that my aunt about every other month could soak it in hot water and get enough out of it for a whole bowl. Yep. Aren't you glad that you changed from being lost to being saved? That's a change. Aren't you glad that you changed from being spiritually immature to spiritually mature? Every time we're discipled, we grow, we change. So that's a good thing. To be conformed to Jesus Christ means that we are constantly in a state of change in order to be more like Him. But the Lord does not change. He is omnipotent. He has all power. So He never changes in power. He never gets weak and then requiring more power. He is holy perfectly. He never changes and gets more holy. He doesn't change in His love. When He loves us, it is an unchangeable love that's not based on performance. There's no way that He can love us more than He loves us right now. He's perfect. His stated will that is recorded in His Word is perfect and does not change. The work and the mission of the church from His Word does not change, nor does the purpose and the structure of the church change. Now, ways in which we carry out that commissioned work changes and needs to change, but not the work itself. In this I pray, it has been seen the importance and the absolute essential of belonging to a particular church family that you have been led to by the Holy Spirit. Now, would you notice our text in John 20? Verse 19, this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 19, then the same day at evening. Verse 1, the first day of the week. All right, now this is the evening of the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. You know what that tells me? They had a Sunday night service. Just saying. Then they were assembled for fear of the Jews, and then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. When they were assembled together, Jesus showed up. Verse 20, and when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As My Father hath sent Me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, would you please notice that they received the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, in the upper room in John chapter 20, not in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, they received the power of the Holy Spirit, not the presence of the Holy Spirit. They were indwelt, the church, in the upper room, assembling together and meeting on the first day of the week, received the Holy Spirit. And then on Acts chapter 2, after Peter preached, there were added unto them Now, there's 11 here in John chapter 20. There's 120 in Acts chapter 1. And then it bumps up to over 5,000 at the end of chapter 2 of Acts. So in Acts chapter 2, the church was being added to, not starting, not beginning. A lot of things are cleared up in just these few verses, isn't it? I mean, they had a Sunday night service. Oh, it's so good how the Bible clears things up. Verse 23, oh, here's another one. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Ha ha, so the church can forgive sins, right? Wrong. Nobody can forgive sins except Jesus Christ. You see, if you divorce this verse 23 from the context, you can come up with anything you want to. The context is the Lord is sending the church out on a mission, on work that requires not only the presence of the Holy Spirit, but it requires the power of the Holy Spirit to carry that out. And they tarried, they waited in the upper room with the indwelt Holy Spirit in them until they were endued with power. Until Acts chapter 2 verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the church in its mission produces, speaks, and demonstrates the gospel announces that there is forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. If the church does not do that, people do not know, they do not hear that there is forgiveness through the gospel in Jesus Christ. The Bible clears up, if you look at it and read it for what it says, it clears up so much false teaching. Somebody asked the other day, true statement, preacher, I read this verse, and they quoted the verse. Does that really mean what it says? I mean, is that a trick question? Yeah, it just doesn't mean what you're trying to make it say. It speaks for itself. Oh, the Bible is just so hard to interpret. Well, you saw a few weeks ago how hard that was. Verse 24, but Thomas. There's always one, isn't there? But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Brother Gary, he had another name too. See, the Lord's called his full name here. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That verse is where the phrase doubting Thomas comes from. Heard people say, oh, you're a doubting Thomas. This is where that comes from. But verse 24 was why he was doubting. Because he was not where he was supposed to be in verse 24, it affected his faith in verse 25. He had an opportunity to not only hear Jesus Christ, but to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And he missed out. I used to be scared to death to miss a service because what I would miss. So we'll call today's service, instead of doubting Thomas, missing Thomas. Growing up, I never did get a chance to do what Thomas did here. November the 10th, 1955. Some will say a day that will live in infamy. But on a Thursday morning at St. Joseph Hospital, downtown Houston, a momentous event took place. Speaking of which, there's 33 shopping days left until November 10th. The next Sunday, the 13th, was one of the few Sundays that I was not carried or drugged to church. Because on November the 20th, I was in the nursery at Harbor Baptist Church. I had a mother and two grandmothers that took seriously the responsibility that I was to be in church every Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I even got drug kicking and screaming to WMU when I was little and couldn't be left alone. Women's Missionary Union, you know, that's when the ladies would get together and, you know, drink that church Kool-Aid out of those little Dixie cups. That was a blessing. Had to sit there, those ladies. So I paid my dues. The Sundays that we were back home at Hanson Switch, and those of you, by the way, that doubts that there's such a place exists, my other brother Larry, right here, Brother Gary, has I forgot, we've got three witnesses, that's all that's needed in the Bible to prove every word is true. There is such a place that y'all have seen the sign. So back home at Hanson Switch, I would be in church every Sunday at Truett Chapel Baptist Church, where my mother's uncle, my great uncle, was the pastor. It is. I couldn't get a break. And him and my aunt ate Sunday dinner with us every Sunday that we were there, along with others. And when there was a lot of people there, Some of you remember this custom. The men would eat first. Yeah. Then the women. Last of all, guess who ate? Yep. Now, if there wasn't a really big crowd, it was just my uncle, aunt, my parents, my grandmother, they would all eat together. But still, the kids ate last, because there wasn't enough room at the table. I was 10 years old before I figured out there was something on a chicken other than a back. And I said, I can't wait till I grow up and I can eat first. Would you believe it? Somewhere in that teenage years, they switched the custom. Now the kids eat first. And I'm still eating the backs of chicken. I don't know who makes up these things, but they got that one wrong. That's it. That's exactly what happened. But never one time in my growing up life did I ever ask the question, are we going to church today? I mean, I knew the answer. There was never a doubt. Now, Thomas must not have grown up that way. It was the first day of the week. The disciples were where they were supposed to be, assembled together in the upper room where they had ate the last Passover meal that they would ever eat, and where they ate the first Lord's Supper meal that they had ever ate. They were there Sunday night, no doubt for the evening service and the Lord's Supper, because you eat supper at night. So that why don't y'all have the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning? Because I said, you don't eat supper in the morning. You eat breakfast. Everybody knows that. But somebody was missing. They took the roll. In the book of Numbers in chapter 31, I believe, when the men came back from the war, they took a roll and none were missing. Somebody was missing here. Thomas had company come over that day. He had to go to school early the next morning, so he had homework to do. He had to get up early and go to work. And it had been a long weekend, a rough weekend. He needed his rest. He looked on the calendar and the pastor was on vacation or on a mission trip. And so he decided not to go to church that day. The Dallas Cowboys were playing the Washington Redskins. The Dallas Cowpersons were playing the Washington Native Americans. It'd be the Corinthian Cowboys and the Thessalonian. Yeah, but, you know, he had something to do. Whatever the reason, it was in direct disobedience to the Lord's instructions, to the Lord's commandment to stay with the disciples. Number one, showing up to church services belonging to a church is not an option. Showing up to church services and belonging to a church is not an option or believers in Jesus Christ. Regardless of what others are doing, regardless of your personal opinion, the Lord says otherwise. By the way, in His second coming, He's coming for the church. Revelation 19, the church and Jesus Christ are going to be joined together. The bride and the bridegroom are going to be joined together. And Revelation 19 mentions friends of the bride, of the groom, bride. Friends of the bride. Think about maybe who those are. They're is a spiritual growth that comes through discipleship and fellowship together within your church family that you can never get alone. With little or no consistency and commitment to your church, you are not going to grow spiritually. And you're going to miss out on some things Jesus has for you. Number two, you need to be in a consistent fellowship with other believers. You need to be in a consistent fellowship with other believers. You can't do that alone. You can't do that on YouTube. You can't do that looking at other services and other preachers and reading books. The least the Lord ever sent out was two. He never sent anyone out by themselves. We need to recognize the fact that we need each other. Now, yeah, I know there's some church folks that, well, they're just plain mean. irritable. Now, stop looking at the other people, all right? That's ugly. Not nice to do that. Turn around and quit looking at Kirk. Remember this. Church people are people. Do you feel good and uplifted and in a good mood 100% of the time? Not a one of you. Why do you expect that in other people that you don't even expect in yourself? You're not always in a good mood. Not until you wake up real good. Some of it's about 10 o'clock before some of y'all kick in. We're not surrounded in church by perfect people. We're surrounded by people that care and love you. You can't get that by yourself. Ever try to hug yourself? Yeah, I know you tried. Some of y'all are so skinny, you could probably do it. Some you'd have to kind of mark and, you know, go around four or five times. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Wouldn't you hate to miss Jesus? He was not there. But would you notice verse 25? The other disciples, therefore, said unto him. Said unto who? Thomas. Okay, now let's back up. Thomas was not there. You got that? Verse 24? He was not there. Verse 25, but they said to him. What's going on? After the service, they went and looked and found Thomas and said, "You blew it. Let me tell you what you missed." They cared enough to find out what happened to Thomas. They went and checked up on him. What's wrong? Something has to be wrong for a disciple, a believer in Jesus Christ, not to be where they're supposed to be, not where Jesus has commanded them to be. So they went and checked up on him. And they said to him, "We've seen the Lord." What did you see today, Thomas? And they said what took place. They cared. They prayed. When you're missing, do you realize there's people in the family that's praying for you? Hey guys, when your child doesn't come home from school in the afternoon, are you concerned? There needs to be the same amount of concern when somebody, your brother or sister, doesn't show up to the church. There's something wrong. Are you praying for them? You need a church. Number three, your faith is affected when you are not in attendance. Your faith is affected when you're not in attendance. Thomas said, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Oh, I can't believe that. Why do people struggle so much with their problems? Why are they having so many problems? Why are they so serious? Could it be that you're focused on self instead of others, and you're sitting at home when you should be sitting in a pew. I will not believe. You have to come in contact with the words of Jesus Christ and have them demonstrated by the Holy Spirit for your faith to be engaged in order for you to believe. Now watch verse 26. And after 8 days, what happened after 8 days? The next Sunday. It's inclusive. They included Sunday, so 8 days. So a whole week went by. The Lord didn't show up to Thomas on Monday. He didn't go to Thomas on Thursday and say, look what you missed. The next Sunday, again, his disciples were within, where they're supposed to be, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Why did he wait till the next Sunday? Because it's when the disciples, when his people are gathered together, that he shows them things. That he doesn't show you alone by yourself. The Lord shows you things primarily through other people. He said, look at my scars. You're sitting next to someone in Sunday school. And they said, pray for me. This is going on. You're seeing their scars. And you write that down. And it goes in the back of your Bible with the other prayer requests. And all week long, you're praying for the person that was sitting next to you in Sunday school. Now, if you were not sitting next to them in Sunday school, you would not pray for them for a whole week. You wouldn't have seen their scars. Wednesday night, the church gathers and prays together as a family. And you hear the heart of the church on Wednesday night. And it's written down. And all week long, the church prays together for those needs. If you're not sitting there and listening and seeing for yourself those scars, you'll just throw a name up into the air. But when you're sitting next to them, you pray with that vision of their scar impressed on your heart. I want you to do something for me. I want you to, if you're able, I want you to reach up in front of you to the person sitting in front of you and just touch him on the shoulder. Okay? Gently now, gently. Okay. Thank you. You couldn't do that on YouTube. Now, you guys, thank you for watching. This is the next best thing. But that's not going to replace face-to-face fellowship where you can touch someone physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and show them your scars. Hear their story. Hear their testimony. Hear their praise. Hear their answered prayer. If you're not here on Sunday, you don't get eggs from Jenny. And the pecans are falling. You ain't going to get a pecan pie either. Right, Susan? You're going to miss out. You ever had someone slip up behind you, put their arm around you, and pray for you? Can't get that alone. We need the church. Last one, number four. You need to learn your job. Need to learn your job. You need to be trained. You're being sent out in order to work together. Verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. I'm sending you on a mission. And you're going to need the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they had to tarry and wait until they were endued with power from the Holy Spirit to do the job they had been commissioned to do. Nobody, not one single individual, has all of the spiritual gifts necessary for the church to carry out the mission that the Lord has commissioned us to do. No one person has all the gifts. And there's a reason for that. Everyone has a different gift. Not everyone can work in the nursery. Not everyone can sing. You that are singing, we're questioned about too. But we're praying that the Lord would help them to receive that gift a little bit better. Not every person can be a deacon. Not every person can be a Sunday school teacher. Not every person can mow the grass. Some don't know that you're supposed to turn away from the glass when you're going over rocks. I mean, not everybody has that gift of mowing. Not calling any names, you understand. No one person has all the gifts, so that it is required that we all come together so that all those different gifts will come into operation to carry out the mission of the church. We can't do this by ourselves. The Lord never intended that to happen. So he ordained the church to be the means to carry out the mission and the work of the church. Guys, we need each other. And we need all of the gifts operating together, so that the Lord gets glory through the church, so that spiritual fruit is produced and his will is accomplished for saving us and putting us on this hill right here. He didn't just speak to them. He breathed on them and he showed them some things. They had to be there in order to experience that. What are you missing by not being here? What truth that suddenly opens up to you that you didn't get opened up to you because you were not here? What encouragement from another person did you not get because you were not here? Let me ask you a question. Could it be that you were not here when Jesus came and opened the truth of salvation? what salvation is, what being born again is? Did you miss that? Thank the Lord, through grace, through His mercy, this is another Sunday. And He's here. And He's present through His Word and through His people. And He said, it's not my will for anyone not to go to heaven. Don't miss heaven by retaining your opinions instead of what God said. Church, don't miss out on the greatest life that the Lord made possible through that salvation. A life not just lived in Him, but lived in community with His people. Father, we thank You this morning, Lord, for Your Word, and specifically for Your Word that explains the absolute necessity of how essential the church is, of how we need to be joined together in a covenant relationship with each other and with You, in a covenant community that You have joined us together with, Lord, and we need to publicly acknowledge that and accept accountability and responsibility to a church family. And if we're not, we're going to be outside looking in. And we're going to miss out on some very, very important things that we need to grow spiritually and to be used by You to affect other people, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers. Lord, I pray that other people would, in our church, would look at other people, other areas of the country, of the world, that does not have a church, that does not have a Bible-believing New Testament church to attend, Lord, and see the longing, hear the longing. Oh, I wish we had a church like that. May we realize and thank You for what You have done and are doing here. May we never take this for granted. It can be taken away in a moment in the day and age we live in. But Lord, I thank You for it. I thank You for the work that's being done in this church for Your glory and for Your honor. I thank You for the lives that are being transformed as a result of it. And Lord, I pray that people would realize before it's too late how absolutely vital this is for their Christian lives. And they wouldn't get caught up in the world and in the cares of the world and allow this to be choked out. Open their eyes, Lord, to the truth. And Lord, may this morning there be some commitments made. Lord, help me to be faithful. Lord, help me to see how important it is to outwardly express my love and devotion to You. Thank You for these that are faithful, Lord. Lord, continue to give fruit for their labor. Lord, I pray that this community would be affected by the light that's shining into the darkness, and that people, as a result of the witness on this hill, would come to know You as Savior. Lord, my last prayer this morning is for those that have never been born again. They've never been brought into Your family through salvation. I pray today, right now, that would take place. In Jesus' name.